Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is We Are, Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. And we are here for another week of our ongoing, unfolding, turning towards life conversation. And you're so welcome to be with us wherever you are in the world. We know that people are all over the world. And however it is that you are joining us through podcasts or YouTube on our turningtowards.life website. And it's really good to see you, Lizzie. Thank you for coming and joining again. I'm feeling again what a commitment it is to do something like this. And I've been thinking a lot, as I often do, about what it is to live a life with practices in them, in it. So I'm very glad to be in this practice with you. And I'm very glad for all of you who are with us that you are in this practice with us, whether you practice with us by joining the conversation just once in a while, or whether you join us very, very often. And if you want to find out more about Turning Towards Life, you can head over to turningtowards.life on the web, where you'll find all of the previous conversations and all of the miraculous sources for the conversations that we've found so far. You can also email us there. You can get emails from us there, and you can also support us there. And I want to make also a particular shout out to Third Space, which is gave birth to this whole project, and which is something that we are deeply involved in, you and I, Lizzie, dedicated to helping people step into their lives in the most full-hearted way, full of wisdom and compassion and presence and care for the world, which I think we really need at this time. So we are thirdspace.org. If you want to head over there and see all of the things that we do, including things that are coming up this year that you can join us for. And I think enough of the preamble, Lizzie. Welcome to you as well as to me and to everyone. And you've brought a source for us, a wonderful source for us to begin with this week.
Thank you, Justin. As you were talking, I was just thinking you can also go to turningtowards.life and see what kind of haircuts and what kind of fashion we were donning 7 years ago. And I often think when I very rarely get to have my hair cut, that I should go back and see which haircut I like the look of and then ask the hairdresser to do that thing. And I have never done it, but I often have the thought of maybe if there was a haircut I really liked, I could get it redone only because of Turning Towards Life. Anyway, that's very silly, but that's what I was thinking as you were talking. So this week we have a source from David White, and it's from a book called Consolations 2. And he has another book called Consolations, which is this wonderful thing that he does of just writing down his definition of words. And I know that you know this well, Justin. And so when there was a number two that came out, I was thinking, my gosh, more words, more words. And I was having a read of this wonderful second edition, I guess, of this way of writing that he has. And that the strapline is the solace, nourishment and underlying meaning of everyday words. And I came across this word horizons, which is what this source is about, as in that's the word that he's defining, which is what we're going to read in a second. And Justin, I chose it because in our work, we often use this word horizons. And I've always felt really kind of invited by the word horizon. And I'm also really mystified by the word. And I'm mystified by loads of the language that we use. And I think that's kind of part of its power is that it feels like it has something in it that's not so obvious. And this is one of them. So I thought, how wonderful if we could talk about this word horizons, and that it might even support those learning with us as well, that we can delve into a word that we always use in a really deep way. So here we go. Horizons are everywhere, both inside and outside of what only feels like our sense of self. The edge between what I think is me and what I think is you is as much a horizon as any line of mountains or that far dark line on the distant ocean. Horizon is the line between what we think we know and what we do not know, between what we think we see and do not see. Horizons mark the threshold between the world that I inhabit and the one that seems to wait for me. Between a world I can almost understand and what lies beyond the imagination of my present life. Horizons are creative, disturbing, invitational edges just by the fact that they exist.
Thank you, Lizzie. So as you said, this is from the second book of Consolations by David White, Horizons. Horizons are everywhere. Horizons are everywhere, both inside and outside of what only feels like our sense of self. The edge between what I think is me and what I think is you is as much a horizon as any line of mountains or that far dark line on the distant ocean. Horizon is the line between what we think we know and what we do not know, between what we think we see and do not see. Horizons mark the threshold between the world that I inhabit and the one that seems to wait for me, between a world I can almost understand and what lies beyond the imagination of my present life. Horizons are creative, disturbing, invitational edges just by the fact that they exist.
Thank you, Justin. So everyone, you're going to have to excuse me this week because I'm not so well. And so I'm coughing a bit. And I'm a bit concerned about my coughing. Anyway, I'm going to do my best. I'm having one of those kind of, I don't know what to call them, you know, moments where you think you have kind of known something, then you realize you haven't known anything at all about a word. I think I'm having that moment because I'm realizing that a horizon, you know that there's something beyond it because it's a horizon. As in, you don't think that's the end of the world because I can't see it. You know, it's all you can see is up to that point. So when, you know, when I look at the ocean, for example, I don't think the ocean stops at the place where I can see until. I know it goes on and on, but I can only see until that point. And so I think of having a bit of a revelatory feeling about this word. And that is the nature of life, that I can only see up to where I can see. But that doesn't mean that that's all that exists. And so what does it mean to reach beyond a certain horizon? We, you know, we talk about horizons of possibility. Like, this is what I think is possible with given what I can see and where I can feel up to. And there are other possibilities on the other side or beyond the horizons that I currently have and or inhabit and or feel. And so I'm suddenly feeling this kind of like a, maybe like a new understanding and acknowledgement of what a limitation is. And limitation often has like kind of negative connotations to it. Like a limit doesn't sound very good, but I'm feeling the gladness of understanding limitation. Like I can feel what it means to know that there's things that I don't know, or that I can do something, but I can't do another thing, feels like a very, very important piece of information about my life. Like if I didn't know that there were certain things that I could do and certain things I couldn't do, or that there are certain feelings that I have, but there are certain ones that are out of my reach, it kind of feels like truthfulness, like an honesty with myself. And it also kind of gives me a picture of what's possible and what's not possible now, knowing that my possibilities also can change. So I'm feeling very, like I normally do in these conversations, kind of thrown, you know, thrown into when I look at the way that we define things and start considering it properly instead of just the givenness of my understanding to this point in life, and keep deepening my understanding of the language that gets used, I feel opened and like I'm not taking it for granted anymore or something. I think it's just a miracle of language. It just kind of throws me into new worlds all the time as we actually turn towards it rather than just use the word and don't really kind of delve. So I'm feeling kind of thrown into the delvingness.
I'm really with you, Lizzie, the way that language reveals when we pay attention to it. So I'm sitting not in my usual place in my little office at the top of my house, which has hardly any windows. So I can see, I've got windows all around me, and I can see outside over here, line of hills, and there's trees along the line of the hill. So the horizon is very present for me. And what, as I look at it, what I'm reminded of is, first of all, is that there is something beyond the horizon. I can't know it from the place that I'm in. From this particular vantage point, I actually don't know this area well enough to know what's on the other side of the line of hills. So it's all imagination. I could imagine that my world stops there. And also I've got imagining about what might be on the other side. There might be another rolling green valley, or it might be an industrial estate. I don't know. It's probably a rolling green valley given where I am. But it might be wooded, or it might be fields, or it might, who knows. So the thing that's striking me is that a horizon is got a lot to do with our particular viewpoint. Where I can't see beyond has got to do with where I am. And if I get up and I walk over to the hills over there and stand on the top of that hill, my horizon will be a different one. I'll still have a horizon, but it will include something that it didn't include before. And if I sit here and I imagine that the world ends where the horizon ends, then I'm missing a whole set of possibilities. If I worry that I'm going to fall off the end of the world over there, I'm just going to stay put. And then I'm taking this language and picking up what David White says. So if the edge between what I think is me and what I think is you is like a horizon like this, what it means is that the edge between me and you is only what I've been able to take into account so far, given the position that I've had. Mm-hmm. There is, first of all, the thing about horizon is it's an edge, but it's only an edge that comes about because of a particular viewpoint, because of the curvature of the earth or the hills that are in the way. So it's not actually an actual edge. It's an edge of perception, an edge of attention, an edge of storytelling, an edge of interpretation. It's real in one sense, but it's amenable to my shifting my position. And the second thing is that in the way that the world doesn't end where the horizon ends, the invitation that we're being led into here, which is that I don't end at what I take to be the horizon between you and me, and you don't end at what I take to be the horizon between you and me. And that means that there are vast territories in one another to know as we cross the horizon, and this is as we move up. We can't ever cross the horizon because the horizon always moves as we move, but it moves. So first of all, there's vast territory to know as I come towards you, as I open myself to you, as I inquire about you. And also there are worlds of me for you to know that I can help to make available by the way I speak and listen, so that might shift your horizon. And then thirdly, the what we take to be the line between me and you often isn't at all what I think it is. And that maybe starts with our common heritage as descendants of all of those beings who came before us that eventually ended up with humanity. And here we are in this family of living things. So that's just sort of my starting place. And I suppose where that leaves me is it's an invitation into a world of wonder and awe and curiosity and attention, rather than what might happen if I sort of treat the horizon as if it were a wall or something, never to be breached. And then I think that there's an ethical dimension to it, which is that what are we here to do? To discover this world, to take care of it. And if I only take care of what's up to my perceived horizon, if I'll only draw my attention that far, my capacity to bring myself into the world fully is sorely limited by what is in the end got a lot to do with where I choose to stand, not anything actual hard and fast about the world.
My God, Justin, what you're saying is so kind of altering for me. Firstly, this relationship between where I stand and what horizon is available to me is really, I'm really taken by that. Like, I was just thinking, depending on which window you look out of that room, the horizon is completely different. So if you never looked out the back window, you'd never encounter that horizon. And wherever we are, wherever we're standing, whatever position that we take, if we do take a position, it determines the horizon in all directions. And just extrapolating that into whatever life circumstance I find myself in, I'm super curious about what would it be to really kind of consciously go, well, I'm going to take another position just to see what horizon is from there, even if it's not mine, it's not a one that I feel comfortable in or that I would own or identify with. At least if I could take another position to see another horizon, I might know something different. I might see something different than where I, than just being like, I'm staying here and this is the only place I will stand kind of thing. I'm finding myself feeling very curious about that. And then the other thing, you know, you said about the relationship between me and you. I was just thinking, there's a kind of, as in every relationship between anything and anything, and maybe I'm talking about conscious beings here, like ones who can think and feel and imagine. My horizon, in my inner horizons of my own possibilities, my own self-knowing, I'm imagining that if I'm not seeing myself in different ways and taking positions, different positions in myself to see myself and all of my whole world of mysterious blizziness, I think it would be hard for you to see beyond whatever horizon I have in myself if I'm in a relationship with you. So you can do lots of work to see beyond my horizons of my own self, which is a very generous act for you to see beyond the way who I take myself to be. And of course, how beautiful that, and I think you do that, you know, you probably see me and my gifts and my flaws much more clearly than I do in some ways, and find compassion and generosity for those parts of me, those aspects of me. But when I'm allowed to see them in myself, like when I allow myself to soften my defensiveness and my self-protection and my self-image stuff, and I see things more objectively, more truthfully, more kind of honestly, and I'm in this business of inquiry and wondering my part in things, I'm shifting my own inner horizon that you can see more. Really, really. And I can see it too. So something about like a shared horizon is arriving for me. So where there's a shared horizon, it feels like there's life. So as in where you and I could meet on a horizon and feel into it together. So as in you and I walking up to that line of trees out that window on your left and knowing that that was a horizon. And then we're together and we go, well, what is beyond that horizon? Shall we see? That's a very different relationship to us both just staying in that room and seeing the same thing all the time. But one of us has to take the other by the hand. If it's in my direction, for example, I would say, will you come to this horizon with me? I think I'm seeing something about the beyond, what's beyond. And could we see it together? And could we learn about it together? Because I feel like I can't see beyond that now, but I really want to. I really want to see beyond it. I really want to see what's really here rather than just my limitation of what I can see. And I'm feeling the kind of gloriousness of that was in both directions. That you and I were leading one another to each other's inner horizons and saying, I want to see more, I want to feel more, or I want to not be limited to the current horizon. Would you come with me to the edge and see what's beyond it with me? And how alive that feels, how interesting that feels, how curious making it has me be, both about myself, but also about you. And what if we could be safe enough together that we could say, okay, I'll come to the horizon. I don't know what's going to happen and I don't understand. And this is really all I can see, but I'm willing to come there with you. And actually to have real horizons really helps. I'm feeling really supported by that line of trees. Because when it's kind of an inner horizon and there's no physical representation, it feels quite scary. But when there's a physical horizon that we could kind of rely on together and then have evidence that there is something beyond it, because that's how the world works, the physical world, then maybe it would give me faith that that horizon would be beyondable, because we'd be together and there would be something supportive instead of just my imagination. We could actually walk it rather than it being like a place I just can't go. I don't even know what that is. And in the togetherness, I would feel much more faithful, is how I'm experiencing what you were just saying.
I'm thinking about, as you're talking about, two things that Martin Buber, the philosopher, said. One was, the horizon that is visible is not the whole sky. And the second thing is, all living is meeting. And you're naming, Lizzie, that our what's inside us is a vast world, and that there are horizons we can choose to cross in our inner vast world. There are different places to stand. I can stand in the grip of something that's fearful in me. I could stand in truthfulness. I could stand in courage. I could stand in love and hope. I could stand in intimacy. And then that, even that language is barely beginning to describe anything about the vastness of our what is within. And as I'm looking at you and seeing this human body, I'm thinking, you know, what a mistake it is to imagine that what's in us happens in the space inside our bodies. I mean, it sort of does in a way, but the imaginative space that we are on the inside has got nothing to do with the actual proportions of our bodies. It's infinite. So first of all, your reminder that there's something about cultivating what happens when we cultivate in ourselves the ability to do the thing that's like standing up in the place we're in, looking at the horizon, realizing that that's not the only place to stand, and walking 10 minutes over the nearest hill or down the street, that inner move is really something that's possible for us. And I think it's what learning is for as well. If we think about learning as filling ourselves up with facts, then we're missing that learning might be traveling the realms so that we find more and more of our mysteriousness and extraordinariness and capacity and depth. And that seems to me a well good use of the consciousness that we are. And then when you say, given that you are filled with horizons and that I'm filled with horizons, then that we might choose to meet together on a different horizon than the one that we normally meet is so moving. And I'm starting to think about language we might use. You know, like we might choose to meet. We might be meeting on the horizon of stuckness, frustration, and anger, and silence. And we might choose to meet on the horizon of love, or we might choose to meet. Let's go and meet for a while on the horizon of patience, or the horizon of unhurriedness, or intimacy, or, you know, all of the different ways that we might name horizons that we could meet on, that we could go and stand on for a while and look out together. And it struck me whilst you were talking also that there's something very important here about the prevailing story of the world as a mechanical, you know, it's just big unfolding mechanism. And when we talk this way about the horizons in us and between us and that they are in to do with the imagination, I think, well, we are a great counter to the story of mechanism. We're not mechanism, we are unfolding imagination. And so we have both the capacity and the responsibility to invite one another onto fresh horizons. And then it just struck me how much that might help us if we are imaginative enough around some of the stuckness and troubles we get into when we want to find it in ourselves to respond to the world in new ways, particularly when we want to do that together with one another, not on our own. It really helps to name new horizons. And then it makes me think that naming new horizons is also kind of imaginative storytelling. Because if I sit with you in this valley that I'm in and we go, well, that's the world. And you say to me, let me take you by the hand. Let's go and stand on the top of that hill over there and let's look out together and discover what might be possible. That image of human beings and life as pure possibility, we have enormous range in how we'll respond and how we'll bring one another onto shared horizons that we can look out from together, is such an antidote to the kind of stuckness, narrow thinking, frozenness, despair, but also aloneness that we can get into. The other thing that's the consequence of what you're saying is it's incumbent upon us to cross the horizons to meet one another. Like, not just to live inside my own horizon and go, well, I end here and you end there, Lizzie, and we can never meet. David White is inviting us into this, I love, he says, to creative, disturbing, invitational edges of meeting one another that takes some courage and attention and developing flexibility in us to do. Feels both frightening and deeply inviting for me.
When you said, let me take you by the hand when you're in the valley, and we'll just go onto that hill and see. I was thinking, what if that is what we could have us, instead of me looking at you in the valley and going, whoopsie daisy, you're in the valley, I'm just going to go and have a cup of tea or whatever, or I can't believe you're in that valley, sorry about that, and walking away. A world where we can make intentional relationship, where we're in something together, where when you are in a valley of some kind and you can't see beyond it, that's who we can be for one another. We can be people who say, let me take you by the hand, I can show you the other side of the valley, or I can show you over that hill, I can walk there and you can hold my hand and you can come back to the valley whenever you want to, because the valley will still be here, but it's important that you know the context of the valley. If we could be that for one another, what world that makes. And that is possible, that we can be for one another, that take you by the handness is a horizon itself. You know, that's a horizon of possibility that many people, most people, most of us don't have as a regular occurrence. That we're both in an inquiry as to what the current horizons are and what the current valley is like and whether there's anything possible other than this. Yeah, just feels like we're talking of a horizon, you know, this whole conversation is a conversation about horizons, but the way we live is a certain set of horizons all the time. And this horizon that we're talking about now, where we can take one another by the hand, depending on who's in the valley and who's able to see over the hill at any given point. If we could have a world made of that, how different it would be. And I'm feeling some grief that that's also not really what's normal as well at the moment. My goodness, this is such a great conversation. I really want to thank David White for being the one who delves through each door of words that, you know, just one word brings us to this. It's extraordinary. So thank you, David. And thank you, Justin, for being someone who also has that gift of opening up worlds and shifting horizons just by saying the things that you say. Very grateful for that. Very grateful for anybody who's here with us today, whether you're listening in 2029 or in March 2025, which is where we are now, or anything in between. We're really grateful that you're here. We're grateful to hear from you ever. If you want to email us, you can at hello@turningtowards.life. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you, Justin, for being here today. Thank you for making it when you're not in your normal place. I really appreciate that as well. And we'll be back next week with another source chosen by Justin for our conversation of unfolding. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.